And certainly to be really good to be back in the United States, and especially back here this morning to see all of you. Everyone in Africa sends their love. They appreciate so much you letting me be away for a few weeks to come and be with them. Turn to the 61st chapter of Isaiah. I want to read a few verses in here. Starts out in the first verse of it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. And then in verse 10 of that same chapter, it says, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with garments of salvation, the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. I have a question for you today. What has the Lord done for you? Have you been mourning, and have you been comforted? Do you still have the spirit of heaviness, or do you have the garment of praise? Are you sitting in sackcloth and ashes, or have you been given beauty? As a bride, have you adorned yourselves with the jewels? Have you been covered with the robe of righteousness? You know, I'm always amazed at their culture. And one of my most favorite things to talk to them about and to learn more about is their custom of how they choose their brides and how that comes about. And so I was talking with some African from another country, some preachers from another in Uganda. And I asked them what their custom was, and it was pretty much consistent throughout everybody that I've talked to. And they said that I just asked them how that comes about. And they says, well, if a man likes the girl, he sees her and he'll go to her and father. And sometimes they have arranged marriages. But anyway, they'll have an initial meet. And the man takes all of his friends with him, and his friends go to meet her parents, and the father and have a discussion and negotiate. And they'll negotiate the terms of the dowry. And the boy, and they'll also be witnesses and give a testimony of his character and all that to the father. And the man just sits back there. He doesn't say a word. He doesn't talk. They don't meet together. He doesn't speak for his own self. And then they have that's the pre-meet, and then they have the meet, and they'll negotiate the terms of the dowry and how much is supposed to be paid. And his friends will with the father. And then they'll have a meet some months afterwards when he's collected the dowry, and he takes the dowry and he presents it to the father, and that's when they actually meet. And at that time, if the dowry is sufficient and the father thinks that he'd be a good man, a sufficient man, then he'll give them a writing of authority that says it's okay to marry my daughter. And then they continue with the plans of marriage. But the special thing that got me was the dowry. And I asked them how much it was, and they said normally it's about one, maybe if she's really intelligent and really maybe educated, it'd be two cows and maybe some other little things. And they normally give the mother $100 or equivalent, and they'll give aunts and uncles and all that other kind of people in her family a little bit. And I asked them all how much money or how much did they pay for their wives. And one of them said, I paid, you know, two cows for mine. And it's very interesting to me to learn about their culture. But I heard a story about this one woman or this one man that really kind of was in love with this girl, and she was not educated and she was not pretty, and there wasn't really anything about her that anybody else saw, and when it came time for the man to pay the dowry, he paid five cows to her father. Paid that big of a dowry for this girl. And she wasn't very pretty. She wasn't educated. She wasn't very smart. And everybody in the whole village was wondering, why in the world did he pay her father five cows to take her, to marry her? And that wasn't but just a little while till that girl started to carry herself a little different. She started to stand up a little straighter. She started to walk a little bit more gracefully. She started to wear better clothes. She started to act like she was five cows worth. Then it wasn't too much longer for all the people in the village started looking at her differently. Started seeing the beauty that the man saw. And they started treating her differently. And she ended up being one of the most principal women in that whole village. Friends, I want you to know that Jesus Christ paid way more than five cows for you. He gave you the best dowry. Paid the best price for you. And I think we ought to put on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I think we ought to walk around like we are something because we are. We're something in Christ. We're the best in Christ. By ourselves, we just hang our heads and walk around in sackcloth and ashes in the prison. While we're here, if we realize that the price has been paid for us and that He paid the best price and the only price that could be paid for us, that we ought to walk around a little bit straight. We ought to walk around with our head held high. We're a little bit higher, not in ourselves, but in Him. We ought to put on the beauty for ashes. We ought to put on the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And we ought to quit walking around like we're sitting in a jail cell because He set the captive free. Friends, I want you to know that Jesus Christ has paid the best price for you. You are His bride, and you are worthy because He made you worthy. Amen. He tells us many times, you know, if a bride comes to the wedding and she's got unkempt hair, and she's got tattered garments on, and as it were, kind of sweatpants and flip-flops on, that wouldn't be much of a good testimony to the authority of the bridegroom, would it? That wouldn't be a good reflection on him, would it? Why did Jesus Christ pay that price? It's found in Ephesians 5, and I want to turn over there a little bit and read about that. Says in verse 22, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might," here's the reason why, "that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." And here's the real reason, "that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." Well, I tell you what. Jesus did that. Cleaned the bride up so that He might present her to Himself a glorious church. He didn't just pay one cow for you. He didn't just pay one part of the dowry. He paid it all. And that's the reason, because if He would have paid part and somebody else would have paid a part, it wouldn't be such a glorious church now, would it? It wouldn't be totally clean. She wouldn't be totally sanctified if the only part was paid. So He paid it all. He paid it all for you so that He would present it back to Himself, a glorious church. And I tell you what, the Bible is full of instruction for the bride. Full of instruction for us as church members on how to present ourselves, right? On how to take care of ourselves and how to conduct ourselves in this life. I want to turn over to Colossians chapter 3. He starts out, I mean, this whole chapter is part of what we're talking about. He says, "If ye then be risen with Christ." He says, if you're the bride of Christ, and Christ rose again, and you're part of the bride, if you were risen with him, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And he gives us some instructions on this. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Mortify means to put to death. So we ought to put to death the members which are upon the earth, like fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, which is desire, evil desires, and covetousness. That means wanting something somebody else has got that you wish you had, which is idolatry, he says. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. He says, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. He says, but now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. You see, after the dowry's been paid for you, after you know that you're part of the bride, he's saying, don't stay down here where you were before the dowry was paid. Put off the old man. Put off all those things: malice, idolatry, covetous, all those things. Put them off. And he says in verse 10, and have put on the new man. That means the Spirit of God that's within you. That means the new nature that he born you again, that you got in regeneration, being born again, that you act consistently with that nature. Because he made it new in you, and you walk in that new nature. That's putting on the new man. That's being justified by your works. That's being justified by your faith. Having faith. Meaning you act consistently with that new nature. That's putting on the new man. Which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. He says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You know, this is just a side note. Do you know how important forgiveness is? At every turn in the Scriptures, the Lord is telling us to forgive one another. And it's so strong that in the Sermon on the Mount, Christ says that he will forgive us with the same measure that we forgive others. That's pretty important. The Lord made it pretty important. And here he says, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. What kind of garments is the bride supposed to put on? How is she supposed to be? How is she supposed to act? What is her attitude supposed to be? She's supposed to forgive. She's supposed to have an attitude of grace. She's supposed to have an attitude of thankfulness. She's supposed to have an attitude of having the peace of God rule in her heart. She's supposed to forbear one another. She's supposed to be merciful and kind. That's the new nature. That's the nature that God gave. That's what He enabled us to do, because before the dowry was paid, we didn't have that. Before we were born again, we didn't have that ability. The natural man is not kind for the sake of being kind. He may be kind to try to get something out of it, and to maneuver and all that. He may be charitable as far as giving money so that if he thinks it's going to benefit him down the road. But the real charity is giving without expecting again. The bride of Christ has been clean. She's been made clean by the sacrifice of Himself. And with us knowing that we're clean, we ought to walk around a little bit straighter. We ought to be a little bit more loving. Love on each other a little bit more. We ought to be praising God more for what He's done. You know, if we realize what Christ has done for us, it really is our only motivation to serve Him better. Not out of fear. Not out of what we can get out of it, but because the simple fact that we were nothing, and He took us, and He lifted us up, and He took us into His house. And like Solomon said, or the Shulamite said to Solomon, His banner over me was love. So if we see the love of Christ, and remember where we were and what we were made in Christ, that we've been washed by His blood, it ought to make us want to do better every day, to honor Him. We don't have to wait until we're called up to heaven to look like the bride of Christ, do we? We don't have to wait. We don't have to wait to honor Him until we get to glory. We don't have to wait to put on our beautiful garments until we get to glory. We don't have to wait to praise Him until we get to glory. We can do all that now. Oh, it's not going to be to the same measure that we will when we get there. But while we're walking around right now, let's give Him honor. Let's give Him all the glory and give Him all the praise. Let's walk around with our head a little bit higher, because we've had more than 5 cows paid for us. He gave the best gift. He paid the best price for His bride that He considered the best. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. Doors of the church are open for reception of members should you have that desire to come today. May God bless us to walk with our head held high, because He paid the best price.